Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hello, everyone, and more specifically, hello to you. I'm Pete Donaldson from the Football Ramble, just checking in for another bonus episode from the Ramble Archives, this time from the 2017-2018 season. We've got a whole lot of stuff in this episode, including Mick McCarthy mugging off his own fans, some wholesome tweeting from lovely, big, cuddly Neville Southall, and Scott McTominay's Player of the Season Award. Bizarre stuff. We're going to be kicking things off with this.
Are you suggesting that Socceroma finally put together a banter missile that could reach the mainland?
I think so, yeah. It could hit Miami.
Mainland banterland.
There we are. Anyway, speaking of which, ladies and gentlemen, back due to overwhelming popular demand.
Lord.
He's back!
He's going for gold, ladies and gentlemen.
For the 2017-2018 vintage.
Oh. You've even recycled the going for gold live theatre show jingle.
I know. Gold. Are you guys ready to play? I guess I need to kind of reset and explain the admin, really.
You give people the skinny on what it is.
Basically, I read out a set of clues pertaining to a mystery footballer, and you guys have to buzz in and tell me who it is before I get to the end of my clues. And it's as simple as an unalloyed as that.
It's one guess per clue each. You've got to be disciplined on it.
Yeah, and you've got to say stop.
Yeah, you've got to say stop. And whoever says stop first gets to guess first.
I'll tell you what, the people were wanting this back, and it is there.
But people love playing along at home, so cool, strap yourselves in, listeners. Yeah.
All right. You ready?
Yeah. Yep. When they're going
for the river. Lord.
I am a Champions League winner.
Stop. Is it Clarence Seedorf?
No, it's not Clarence Seedorf.
Stop. Jimmy Traore.
It's Jimmy Traore. It's fucking Jimmy. Fuck you in your fat face.
What a start.
You know it. Well, I hope you've enjoyed Gold for Gold. Unbelievable, right? You can, have the rest of the...
Oh, no.
Rest of the... For fuck's sake. Fuck me.
To be fair, Pete, he's like the known sort of obscure Champions League winner. People are going, oh, Jimmy Traore won the Champions
League. You know what
will
be next week now, don't you? Jimmy Traore.
Yeah.
That had two.
Jimmy Ballardio. If Rafa goes, what do you think? Is that enough experience for
Steve
the job?
Steve Watson played every position on the pitch back in the day, apart from goalkeeper, I think.
Did he not? Did he
No, it might be centre-back he didn't play. One of the positions he didn't play.
I think he had a little stint in goal.
I think he did have a stint in goal. Yeah. Yeah.
Can I fast-forward you guys just because I want to get Pete's opinion on it. The quote of the summer.
Here we go.
From the aforementioned Mike Ashley,
yep.
Who we talked about. Well, listen, this will tell you exactly what he is, in fact, spending his money on. He said, I'll just read the quote. Unfettered quote.
Right.
My thing is not to drink regularly. It is binge drinking. I am trying to get drunk.
Didn't he also describe himself as a power drinker?
Yeah, yeah. Like amazing.
You forget the context. It was in a court of law.
Yeah, and it was referencing a business meeting which he had to excuse himself from the table in a pub and vomit in a fireplace.
Didn't he go
as well? This is the stuff he's happy to talk about.
What's he covering out?
In front of the law.
What's he covering up?
To be honest, Sunday through Thursday, I don't drink at all, but Friday, Saturday, I'm very much in the Ashley camp.
You're a power drinker.
I'm a power drinker.
Yeah.
Me and him, we love that.
Talk it
out.
Thrash out some business deals.
Yeah, thrash.
That one of you later forgets agreeing to.
Vomit in a fireplace.
I've bought a human sized fidget spinner to play in defence. Shit.
Well, you know, you're the voice of Sports Direct Radio.
Hello, minions. Keep working. If indeed you are working today, 0 hours.
Oh, it is binge drinking. I'm trying to get drunk.
Yeah.
Trying.
Yeah. In his 40s.
He's succeeding.
In his 40s or his 50s.
I mean,
something like that.
It won't matter if he carries on like that.
No.
My goodness. And it's unlike the Rangers fans to act a little bit silly in response. Eh? It's all about how you respond to things in life, I find.
Lots of people listen to this show are always like, we ain't talking about Scotland. Make us talk about it. You have done now.
For all the right, wrong reasons.
But the highlight for me was the St Johnstone Motherwell game.
Yeah.
It was 4-1 to St Johnstone.
Mark McGee's former club, Motherwell.
I mean, this game... I would implore you can watch the extended highlights. I mean, it's impossible to leave anything out.
Well, there was 5 goals.
Yeah, on the BBC website, there's highlights of it. It runs to about 5 or 6 minutes. The game was utterly amazing, right? I've got a little praise of it here. So St Johnstone went ahead with the world's shittest goal, right, straight away. So you know you're fully anchored in Scottish football when that happens. Right, that's where I'm
watching
the game. And they double their lead with a nice goal, but the defending was poor. Then the world get back into it with a goal from a set piece. And you think, okay, this is a good game. It's 2-1, you know, this happened. Second half, it goes absolutely mad, right? Trevor Carson, who used to play for Portsmouth, literally picks up the ball outside his area. Right? It's like there's a through ball played. Trevor Carson thinks, well, I'm not going to get to that. Mm. So rather than just sort of slide in and do like a defender's type tackle, just picks the ball up. So he's off.
So
he gets sent off.
Yeah.
Motherwell refused to defend again and just let St Johnstone in who scores. And then McHugh, who in the same way that Chelsea reacted badly to their red card, McHugh for the he's on a yellow anyway, and he throws a huge assault on the St Johnstone player. So he walks. As he walks, one of the St Johnstone players is pointing at him and laughing. Right, so that's the type of game it is.
Yep.
The Motherwell manager, Steve Robson's going mad as well. And the best thing is that the pièce de résistance, right, is Charles Dunn commits a professional foul and is sent off again. So Motherwell down to eight.
Yeah,
he was sent off midweek in a different competition.
It's got all football. It's like so many red cards.
And then they get a penalty, St Johnstone. Yeah. The keeper, who's let an absolute softy one in earlier, saves the penalty, and then they score a fourth anyway, so that's it.
There we are. So 4-1. 4-1 to St Johnstone. Motherwell down to down to eight men.
Those highlights will be on the BBC website. Please watch it. It's brilliant. Mark McGee.
Jimmy, are you looking forward to anything on the weekend?
Lauren Koscielny. It's been too long, pal.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm looking for, well, he probably won't play, but if he does, Adnan Januzaj, he signed for Real Sociedad for $8 million. Man United have a buyback clause, you know. Never burn your bridges. It's modern football. Adnan told reporters that he will dedicate his first goal that he scores for Real Sociedad to Louis van Gaal, as they didn't get on very well at Old Trafford, and van Gaal basically wanted him out of the club. And I thought, you don't understand how dedications work, really.
It's petty, isn't it?
Do that when you've scored it. Yeah. I mean, you're creating a problem here.
Rest assured, by the way, if I know anything about Louis van Gaal, he literally no longer knows who Adnan Januzaj is. He's well and truly got rid of
him. To be honest, when, you know, he's going to pass away probably sooner than Januzaj, if you're ever in for a ghosting, if you're ever in for a spooking, I bet van Gaal's bang up for that.
What are you going on about?
What? Who would you be? Yeah, you wake up in the middle of the night and a ghostly apparition that is Louis van Gaal is at the bottom of your bed shouting, "Listen to saxophone lady!" And then the ghost saxophone lady comes in. Oh, it'd be a mess.
You, can I just finish this off by
that
saying...
That would be a mess.
At time of recording, Louis van Gaal is very much alive.
Do you experience a lot of Dutch ghosts in the night?
Yeah. They kind of do. Oh,
Busman's holiday, really. I've just moaned it all the time. Yeah.
Don't say bus.
No, sorry, yeah.
All right, then. They treat him normally there, according to Jose Mourinho, and they call him Z.
I love the fact that he says that they treat him normally when they're opening a road in his honour. That's his idea of how he should be treated by everyone all the time.
Yeah. Well, so, Cristiano, why did you go back to Madeira? Another statue, so...
Yeah. Naming an island after me. This one, not yet. Soon enough.
If it was in England, it would be Marina Road, wouldn't it? Marina Road? Marina Road?
You're right, mate.
Yeah. That is the gist of it.
Yeah.
Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Do you want a fight, mate? Yeah. I've been away for too long.
Hang on a minute.
I'll have a fight with you if you want.
Save it for Russia next summer, lad. All right.
Come on, mate. It's plenty of it out
there. Imagine that. Imagine wanting to have a fight with someone but agreeing to put it off for 9 months. Because, you know, speaking of that, there was a guy who, back in our home, in our hometown, it's like a pretty small village. Really.
Just down Lukemore Road.
Yeah, and I was going back there for an unveiling of a road. But no,
and we're going down memory lane.
And no, there was this guy there who used to be a real wrong'un back in the day. He's about my dad's age.
Yeah, but he's here with us now, ladies and gentlemen.
But he honestly was a real wrong'un. And my mate said that he came up to him in the pub and said to my mate, "Oh, is your dad still knocking about?" And my mate went, "What are you talking about?" He went, "Tell him I'm still looking for him, won't you?" I think it was like some sort of argument there, like back in the 70s. This is like in 2004.
Wow, brilliant.
Yeah, I respect it.
That's one of my mates. So in Edinburgh, he bumped into the old secondary school bully.
Yeah.
And he was chatting about, I mean, this is years on from 10, 11, 12 years on from secondary school. And he saw him, he's like, "Hey, are you getting on, pal?" And they always got on quite well. And he said, "Oh, do you need anybody battered or anything like that?" I'm 28.
Yeah. I've got battering.
Hang on a minute.
I tell you what, I took a right kick in that one. Yeah. I don't know who it was.
That is quite a Mourinho thing to do. Mourinho would bear a grudge for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
There's no question about that.
I just can't help but feel that if that guy had been looking for that guy's dad since the 70s, he would have come across him by
he's
now.
He's not looking that well, is he?
No.
Maybe that's the only flaw.
Yeah, that's what fuels him. He doesn't actually want to find him.
Oh, he's a problem.
I've got terrible cataracts. Can't see a thing.
Things on the pitch, you think the same old Arsenal, but it's the same old Wenger as well.
It's familiarity breeding contempt.
Exactly.
There's no way people would be having the conversation they're having about it after the second game if it wasn't Wenger.
I thought Wenger might have taken a leaf out of Real Salt Lake coach Mike Petke's book when handing out photos in the press conference.
This was absolutely amazing.
To prove his thoughts on the game. Because Wenger does like to say this, that and the other, "I didn't see it and this happened." And he was, if you saw this, ladies and gentlemen, Salt Lake City coach, he handed out photos in a press conference to prove his player was fouled at a crucial moment during the match.
Who printed this out for John?
Mike Petke is the guy, long-term listeners of The Ramble. Mm. Do you remember the famous coach?
Oh, was that him?
That's Mike Petke, because he used to be the coach of the New York Red Bulls.
Right, okay.
And he was absolutely fuming. I've never seen a manager more angry. And the best thing was he
printed out in colour. Wasteful.
He had it printed out in colour, and he kept saying to his assistant, who was brilliantly called Trey. Trey, pass these out, Trey.
Yeah.
Pass these out, Trey.
Serve them up, Trey.
On the tray.
He also said at some point, "If I do not do what I do," you mean lose my temper, he means, "I cannot sleep for the next 4 weeks."
He doesn't lose his temper.
Yeah. Well, is it just simmering the whole time? Yeah.
And he also said, I had two more examples of this, but the freaking printer didn't work.
Probably ran out of credit and he's printing us out all the time.
And he finishes the point by saying, he sort of trails off by saying, but the freaky printer didn't work, but we'll get them out to you, don't worry, we'll get them sent to you.
We're all right, thanks.
All the journalists are just like, nah.
Well, thank goodness for that.
At one point, because he's talking about his player getting punished unfairly for some particular physical altercation, which he thinks was innocuous. And one of the handouts he gives out and is he starts going, look at him, that's a freaking headlock.
It does.
He's in a headlock. Like,
a freaking headlock.
Very WWE.
Oh, it's great.
It'd be amazing if he just came out with like those little kind of models of famous poems that kids make at school. Dioramas. Have you made like a diorama of the situation? Or maybe like made one of those science volcanoes. And that's how angry I am. Yeah. That's how mad I am.
Pass it around.
Get a bike up in your face.
If you merge Spurs is the base of Spurs as midfield, it would be a diorama, of course. Think about that, everybody. No. That was bloody excellent.
You mixed up the word dire and dire.
Any more side points?
To produce a dire. Oh, Wanyama, did you say? Sorry.
You didn't think about it. You see?
Didn't hear it.
As soon as
you start getting punny.
And it's that.
I close my ears. Well, my ears just skin over.
Yeah, something about your system shuts down, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Is there a firewall for puns in your programming?
I'd like to see Mike Petka just come into a press conference next week with a massive strip of magnesium.
Look at this, guys.
Blind if I'm in the room. That's how angry I am right now.
I've been staring at the eclipse for the last 3 hours. Oh, I can't see anything.
You're blind anyway. You couldn't see that red card.
But it was a great... Blind squirrels and nuts, in my opinion.
That's a hell of a nut to stumble upon, isn't it, though? My goodness, is it not the only honest story we heard on radio recently? I didn't hear this. Of course, I read about this. Perhaps some of our listeners will be au fait with Happy FM in Ghana.
Right.
Mm-hmm. A joyous listener, I'm assuming. Well, this was very, very interesting indeed, because Alhaji Babagedo, the president of second-tier Amadeus Professionals in Ghana, again, a team that we're all very familiar with.
It's a great name for a team.
He was discussing some refereeing standards and whatnot. And refereeing standards will always be discussed no matter what league you go, no matter which country, so on and so forth. And then here was a man who, as I say, he's the president of a second-tier side. So he's got a bit of standing in the game, a bit of importance, and you think, I wonder,
since you might be building up the same game, mate.
I used to pay countless fat bribes to referees.
Oh my god, here we go.
Not just skinny ones, fat bribes.
Let me put my seatbelt on. Now I'm ready.
But I've stopped now. That's good.
Yeah, fair enough.
Because I didn't benefit from it.
Oh, right. Okay.
You sort of popped yourself on the moral high ground.
Has he found that other people are bribing more?
Well, he went on to say, you pay the bribe and the referee will still go ahead and rob you, which means he also collected a bribe from your opponents. That's what pissed me off.
You've got no cause to complain. Yeah,
he occupied the moral high ground and went tumbling back into the valley.
No, he did occupy the moral high ground.
His opening gambit is, I used to pay them fat bribes. Yeah. But clearly other teams paid them fatter bribes.
I'd like to know what world you're living in, Marcus, where owning up to an actual crime is occupying the moral high ground.
The best you can offer is that he's been honest, but he's only being honest about his own dishonesty.
Yeah, that's because he's nowhere for him to go.
Because it didn't work.
And it's pissed him off.
Yeah.
What am I to do?
Yeah. More of this guy.
Oh, I feel not sorry for him.
No.
My goodness, well, that's... this year. Portugal beat Hungary 1-0 away. I was in Hungary over the weekend and I visited one of the most beautiful stadiums I've ever been to.
Which one?
The Pancho Arena. But it's such a shame, because if you read up about the Pancho Arena, it's not for nice reading, especially if you're a Hungarian citizen. Do you know Viktor Orban?
No. Who's the enlighten us.
No, he's the leader of Hungary. Right. It's more accurate to say, shall we say. And how this stadium was financed has been come into question.
So is this a new stadium?
It's about 2 years old, I think. And it's a very small stadium. It's only about 3,500, which is double the population of the village it's in.
Oh, dear.
Happens to be the village where he's from.
Just put a statue up. Wow.
Honestly, the house that he owns in this village, it is a stone throw away. In fact, it's literally pissing.
Is the stadium just in his garden?
Pretty much. It's absolutely shocking. It's well worth a read if you're into it.
Has he got deep pockets? Let's move on. I've got an email about this, actually.
Oh, have you?
From Jimmy Allen. Hello, Jimmy Allen. He says, hello, Ramblers. This weekend I was in the beautiful city of Budapest for a friend's stag do.
Here we go.
Oi, oi. Ed's on. A lovely time was had by all. And to top it off, I got to see man of the people, he puts in inverted commas, an all-round good guy, Marcus Speller, tucking into some pre-flight grub.
Yeah, that would have
happened. He was eating, yeah.
Yeah.
Can I speculate as to what you were eating?
Yeah. I'm trying to remember.
All day breakfast, no cuppa, orange Fanta, no ingredients you couldn't buy in an off-license.
Yeah, no sauce.
Absolutely. Within the M25. Yeah. Is that right?
Barely any moisture involved at all.
Luton's outside the M25. Okay. Is he saying on the way in or the way out?
Well, I think it's on the way out. But basically,
on the way out, there's no all-day breakfast in Budapest.
Yeah, but I reckon you would have taken the sausages with you.
Yeah.
They've
got fine sausages over there.
So you just take a string of sausages with you to the airport, like a cartoon dog.
He says, what I'd like to know is, was I correct telling my friends that it's rude to go and speak to somebody while they're halfway through a meal, as I had to battle the urge to meet the great man himself with my awkward / polite Britishness?
Was great in inverted commas as well.
He bottled it, basically, which my friends all thought was hilarious.
If you see me pissed up on the continent, stay away.
Come on.
Of course you could have come and said hello.
He says, what were you doing in Budapest alone and on an international weekend?
I was visiting the Pancho Arena.
There we go.
I got an invite from Viktor Orban.
Marcus can go where he wants.
And a big football ramble.
That's libelous. Let's move on again.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Greece 1, Belgium 2.
I love that you've literally taken over the hosting duties now to get away from this.
The Belgians are there.
The Belgians are there.
Can Pete be you for a bit? I was enjoying it.
Yeah. Oh my goodness! I'm still struggling to remember what I was eating. It was a slice of pizza.
Good.
There we are.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
Meat feast. Right. The Belgians are there.
They beat Sausage feast.
Picked out all the veggie bits.
Didn't have the dip.
It's technically a meal accoutrement, and I'm not getting involved.
What do you mean you don't put gravy on a pizza? Bloody hell. Oh, dear.
And if he gets a chance to shoot, he should have a pop.
Who are the some of the German players that we're going to be coming up against, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. We can talk about some of these players, and I think Ashley Young, you know, yeah, Man United managers have seen a bit of him. And
do you know what I'm going to do? Give me a list of the German names, and I'll give you a reason why England shouldn't be scared of them.
Yeah, well, these are a handful of names from the Germany squad to put England's squad in perspective. Ike Gundogan.
Can't get in the City team. Carry on, next.
Under Southgate, wouldn't be in the side. Emre Can.
Plays in front of the back four for a Liverpool side that have already conceded 17 goals this season.
Toni Kroos.
Was recently in a team beaten by Spurs.
Also ill,
I think.
Oh, is he?
Apparently so.
He's not got the stomach for it, Jim.
No, exactly.
Sami Khedira.
Plays for a team that struggled to beat Benevento, the worst team in Serie A history last week.
But they did beat him.
Struggled.
And he's won the World Cup.
Next.
Mesut Ozil. World Cup finalist, goal scorer, Mario Götze.
Bombed out of Bayern Munich and once got a stiffy in public.
Did he?
Look it up. You've seen it, Jim, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, you don't even have to specifically look it up. Just Google him.
Yeah.
I think Peter Beagrie got one as well.
There we go. He's not in the German squad, though, is
he?
No.
Next. His motorbike.
Manchester City starlet Leroy Sané.
Okay, I genuinely can't think of a bad thing about him.
Mats Hummels.
Played in a 2-0 defeat to Hoffenheim recently in September.
Okay.
And looked bad.
Jerome Boateng.
Couldn't even cut it at Man City.
Also injured.
Yeah. All right, I don't have to worry about him. And Joshua Kimmich.
Also played in that 2-0 defeat to Hoffenheim. So yeah. What are you worried about?
In the bag.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it with the Brazil team.
No, please don't. That would just be disrespectful to yourself. If it's him.
Can I get involved with a little bit of Neville Southall?
No.
Go on.
No, you can. Yeah.
I'm obsessed. I'm obsessed. Big Nev on Twitter has been magnificent the last few weeks. He loves skeletons. He hates Tories. It's just a beautiful. Last night, if you're gay, straight, trans, or anything else, confusing gay, straight, and trans, you should be able to be what you want. Not live a lie without discrimination or prejudice. Somebody replies, what about Tory skeletons? They are none. They don't have souls.
Wow.
When you look at a person's eyes, you see them really trying. Someone with a million cigarettes struggling along, trying to cope best they can, humans. And then somebody replies to that, hey, Nev, can you recommend a book on your good self, please? He says, no, mate. He's got his own autobiography.
I could recommend one, In Search of Perfection. I told you all about it before. Big Nev signed it for me once.
Is that Big Nev's autobiography?
It's half goalkeeping manual, half sort of like
his ideas about stuff. And also, has Neville tweeted much about how he tried to sue his own daughter?
No, he does not tweet about that. No.
Okay, yeah.
Well, he did. Well, the thing that sort of kicked off October.
Well,
the 3rd,
that is something that literally happened.
I know, but people need the chance to be able to redeem themselves.
And he has redeemed himself. October 3rd, the start of this skeleton nonsense was all from this tweet saying, "I love the thought of recycled skeletons. Imagine walking down your street and all your dead relatives were lampposts. Brilliant."
Yeah. I can't sue a skeleton though, can he?
No.
A football legend has sued his 19-year-old daughter to get back £55,000 worth of trophies.
That was ages ago. October 6th, two crows sitting on a tree above a graveyard. One says to the other, "Where's them effing skeletons?"
"I am devastated. I idolise my dad. I don't know how I'll pay the costs."
October 5th, skeletons have arms, legs and back. Make ideal chairs. Jeremy Bentham.
What I love, and I really appreciate this, Luke, is when Pete actually finds something that he's positive about, you just torpedo it.
Neville Southall. October 5th, later in the day. Imagine skeletons, handlebars on your motorbike made from arms.
This is bizarre.
Breaking
stuff
would be so easy and fun.
Oh, dear. Right, ladies and gentlemen.
I just love Neville Southall.
Thank you very much
we
for listening.
We found something you do like, and that's important.
Tactics.
Well, I was about to say, Pete's threshold for shocking behaviour is a lot higher than other people.
It is, yeah. I'm very forgiving.
Mm. Yeah, you are.
Indeed, yes. Mm. Shall we go to Brazil, gentlemen?
Fancy it. Well, I'm a bit jet-lagged already, to be honest, mate.
Yeah, just got back.
I know, jeez.
The continent where we'd have a little bit of reggaeton, Peter.
Pete should have gone straight there.
Sambar spirit. What?
The old sambles. Get your sambas on. Ibis Sport from the northeast of the country, or Ibis Sport. I'll say Ibis, otherwise it sounds silly. From
which
my
the hotel brand?
That's Ibis, yeah.
Ibis.
They're from the northeast of Brazil. They play in the lowest division of the Pernambuco Championship and are self-dubbed the worst team in the world. This was a piece in The Guardian, very interesting indeed. They were officially crowned the worst team in the world after going 3 years and 11 months without winning a match in the 80s, which is quite spectacular. They're deeply concerned at the moment, though, as the side have won three in a row. It could have been four. I couldn't find their result on Sunday, funnily enough. The Pernambuco Championship doesn't rank high on the Google search engine. But so they've won three in a row. Could have been four, but definitely three in a row. And the fans feel this is ruining their identity. Now, Pete Donaldson, if this is not the team for you, I don't know what is.
Diehard Ibis Sport fan.
Right up my street. Right up my strata.
I'll tell you what, if there's a successful takeover in Newcastle, he's going to Ibis Sport. It's like when the Glazers took over at United and all those fans started supporting FC United.
Yeah. This is your FC United, Peter. Yeah.
This is my feeder club.
Indeed. Well, after the team won their third straight match, fans piled into a bar where the players were having a drink to celebrate the win, and the fans asked them to stop winning.
Yeah, one fan said, "This is destroying our history."
Pete, this is what you
is
all over.
What do they go to the football for?
Where's
the joy?
I don't know.
To enjoy the opposition, presumably.
Yeah, presumably. Exactly. Yeah. Well, other fans went on social media to complain.
They are from the northeast. I mean,
yes.
I like this. Your interest is peaked, isn't it? Yeah. I can tell.
What's the kit look like?
What's the major
airport?
One of the fans complained on social media saying, "This is a worrying situation in the long term. To stop being an icon and to just be another winning team, it's the coach's fault." Doing his job. And this is great. A former player for them, a midfielder called Mauro Shampoo. That has to be a nickname.
Have you seen a picture of Mauro Shampoo?
Well, hence the nickname.
Yeah. It is a magnificent
perm. Oh, it's a nickname.
He's their conditioning coach, I think.
He boasts that he only scored one goal in 10 years and said this winning is bad for the team's brand.
I think if he gets...
Something's come along and burst our bubble.
I think he could really shine if he was given a bit of chance.
Love that.
Yeah. I expected more from you rather than just a shampoo song.
Well, at the moment, Luke, it's damage repair, isn't it?
It is damage repair.
I'll let you get
for
all
those of you
who shower
really
shit. Shit.
What are you talking about?
Shower of shit.
You have to let yourself down, boy.
Shower.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. I do get it. No. It's not a pun, though, is it? Just saying shower of shit.
I'm just letting you get on with your shower of shit.
Okay, thanks, right, mate.
Yeah. Oh, there we are.
Defenders don't know how to defend against tall players in 2017, so no. Duncan Ferguson might probably do something.
There we go.
That's all I'm saying.
In 2027, they might not either. but we mentioned Everton in the Europa League. Of course, they played Lyon at Goodison Park. Didn't get a very good result there. The Everton fan who punched a Lyon player while holding his 3-year-old son, some of you would have seen this,
with the big melee that happened when Ashley Williams got involved, and it was all a bit silly, and there was a bit of a brawl, and some of the fans came down and stuff.
I never knew something could be so funny and so depressing at the same time.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. It is one of those ones. Well, the Everton fan who did punch a Leon player, and that did happen, sadly. He said he was ashamed of what he did. And then he went on to say that he was angry with the club security because they
let him do it.
Yeah, and the others get so close.
Look what you made me do.
He was also angry with the players themselves because, in his words, they're supposed to be an example. Now, this is a man. This is a man who punched a fellow human being while holding his 3-year-old son. And he's accusing other people of setting a good example.
Probably blames his son for not being able to follow up with the left.
Yeah.
I would have followed up with the left.
You better set a good example. Yeah. They should be giving them my wages. The amount of respect I got for them.
Oh,
what?
Dear me.
Yeah, he was not the sharpest tool in the shed. And also, very, as I said earlier, very, very depressing to see.
Yeah. Yeah. Does his son get banned? Because he's been banned.
Well, his son didn't actually throw a punch, did he? So hopefully they'll see sense.
Yeah, but he was a counterweight to the pivot, I would say.
Scandal as 3-year-old banned from football.
Oh, dear. Well, absolutely. That's what I question myself. It almost feels like this is more suited to what happens in the third season of Mourinho, the TV show.
I was out of the police station inside half an hour with my solicitor, but I'm ashamed of what I've done. I already know. I'm not a fucking dickhead.
We're back to the Everton
band. Yeah, why not?
I was getting bored of that Mourinho stuff.
I knew I'd put myself and my son in a dangerous position. It was not intentional, but I'd been too concentrated on screaming abuse at the players for being shit.
Is this better or worse than the Newcastle fan punching the police horse?
Pete...
Can we have a marks out idiot?
They're please? Supposed to be setting an example. They're professional athletes.
Do you think John Terry's still got that Dad of the Year award? Because I know who deserves
it. Maybe. More on John later, of course. But
Cantona ran off the pitch and gave a fan a kung fu kick in the chest. Yeah, I'm the worst thing in football. Are they deluded?
Who's interviewing this man? Yeah. Fantastic.
It doesn't look the best on video. That was his final quote.
Wow. Yeah. Because he claims he was sort of caught in a surge, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Basically, my fist just sort of got caught up in the current.
Sorry about that, Huddersfield fans.
That's
but,
all right. Yeah. I thought, maybe I'll just give one quote on that and we'll move on. But no. Ramble will prevail,
it
ladies
will.
And gentlemen. And so it should, so I apologise there. But yeah, if
I'd tell you, another team who's doing quite well in the Championship at the moment is Sunderland. But every time I do the Highlights of the Week thing out on the Facebook, I just get a load of Sunderland fans going, oh, we didn't win again.
I do forget how many people listen to the Football Ramble who just bought Sunderland. And I go, what are you, why?
Yeah, they drew away.
For you.
They drew away, Pete.
No, there's plenty for them.
Yeah.
But if you do stop listening,
away,
please do download.
A dirty plastic Jordy and news from the Championship. That's all you get.
By the way, 3 draws in a row for Sunderland now. Which, if they carry on like this and draw every game for the rest of the season, they'll still get relegated. Yeah. So.
It's a platform to build on.
Yeah.
A platform that has a trapdoor in it.
And will collapse.
Yeah. Independently of the trapdoor.
Yeah.
Will Dick Advocaat go back there and save the day? Will he? Will he not?
No.
Again,
you
answers on a
no,
postcard.
No, he won't.
He knows that Willy is Dick.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Sorry.
Willy Advocaat. The worst Christmas drink. Grandmama, come downstairs. There's some Willy Advocaat on the side for you.
Mother.
Season's greetings.
I brought it in from the courtyard.
Yeah. That's a great impression of people from Sunderland there.
Yeah,
don't you?
I know.
I think that's a fantastic championship round that chap.
Correspondence with Peter Donaldson.
It is time for correspondence with Peter Donaldson. That's my name. Do wear it out. Hello, Zane Pritchard. Hello there, Ramblers. Apologies if I've missed the boat with this, but I'd like to allude back to your chat. Can you allude back to a chat about games being stopped for peculiar reasons? Sky Sports News ran a story a few weeks ago about a game that was taking place in the lower leagues of France. The pitch was located directly next to an elderly woman's house. And during the game, the ball kept on being kicked over into her garden. She became so frustrated at having to throw the ball back over time and time again, so she decided to take matters into her own hands. She proceeded to march onto the pitch with a plastic garden chair and take a seat on the halfway line so the teams could no longer play, resulting in the game being abandoned.
We'll just get rid of her, just move her off.
You can't physically...
Lift her up in the chair.
Well, you're restraining a woman.
Of course you can move, so that's a life ban. Pitch invader.
Yeah. Is that a garden?
Yeah, so that's a life ban, and it's a steward's matter or a police matter, and get rid of it.
I just think it's a beautifully rustic scene. They went down to the boulangerie and enjoyed some
What sort of security
fromage.
Is there at that game?
I don't know.
Didn't you say like French fourth tier or something?
Yeah.
I thought you
probably
I thought
just Schofield, to be fair.
I thought you were going to say that she pulled out a knife and was just popping the ball.
Yeah, I was a bit worried.
That's what I was thinking.
People used to do that down my street.
Yeah,
if your football went into a certain someone's back garden, they would pop it.
Yeah.
I remember my dad having a set too with a guy down the road because he wouldn't give our footballs back. Dad went down there and challenged him.
Yeah. Challenged him to a knife off.
A duel. A knife duel.
Yeah.
There was a guy who used
there was no knives involved.
There was a guy who lived next to me who was only too keen for you to walk through the house to get the ball. So, I mean, carry a knife for a different reason, that's what I would say.
Was it the canoe man?
It wasn't the canoe man.
No.
The canoodling man. Hello to Stephen. Hello.
Hello, Brazil.
Well, we're always keen to hear from friends. We're keen to hear from Billy Frendo.
Ah,
Billy Frendo!
He has to be Australian.
In Sydney, Australia.
It sounds like an 80s chocolate bar.
Billy the Frendo. Get yourself a Frendo.
Yeah.
Full of a lattice of chocolate and nuts. A friendo.
Is that what the guy used to say in your house for getting the ball back?
You got a friendo! It's under the sofa!
Hey, friendo, calm down. It's no biggie.
No need to call mum and dad.
It's no biggie.
Yeah. Crystal Palace.
So now they officially are rubbish again.
Yay. I quite like the name Gary Hours. If you sacked your manager and your team was accused of being lazy... You'd come out and go, don't worry, we're putting in the hours.
I've got a few
more.
That
one, Marcus.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah.
This one particularly is fantastic. Ben Bennett said, my heart at the weekend is at the QPR financial fair play hearing. Harry Redknapp said he only signed, in quotes, one or two players to get QPR promoted, as most of the players on big contracts were already there when they arrived. Those one or two, in quotes, were Danny Simpson, Richard Dunn, Carl Henry, Charlie Austin, Gary O'Neill, Matt Phillips, Javier Chevanton, Oguchi Inewu, Yossi Benayoun, Cole Donaldson, Aaron Hughes, Benoit Asuokoto, Tom Carroll, Nico Kranjcar, De La Torre, Kevin Doyle, Will Keane, Madiba Maiga and Ravel Morrison.
Bear boats, yeah. Bear boats.
How the chairman did all the hyperbole.
One or two. If he said a handful or a few... Do you know what I mean? One or
can I just squeeze a few? That's made it in.
There we go.
Yeah.
Very slim pickings.
All you got to do is make
it's the name, isn't it?
Yeah.
Art Grimley.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Basically, if you're called like John Smith, you've got no chance.
Yeah.
How good you
just
name.
Make up a name.
Yeah. Call yourself Stormzy. No one cares. I'll read it.
Yeah.
Craig Doyle. Hello, Ramblers. I have a pair of Kevin Keegan stories to bring to the banquet.
Pair of them.
And the first is Keegan's last game for Liverpool before moving to Hamburg in the summer. Liverpool won the league with Keegan having a phenomenal season. However, in Keegan's penultimate game, they lost the FA Cup against Man United 2-1. 4 days later, it was the 1977 European Cup final in the Stadio Olimpico Rome, and Liverpool were playing against Borussia Mönchengladbach. Keegan runs the game and in the process wins a penalty, halved by Scottish disaster Bertie Vokes, to make it 3-1 to Liverpool, winning their first European Cup. After the match, Keegan enters the dressing room and says, "I've won you the European Cup there, lads, and that's my parting gift." Centre-half Tommy Smith spins around and says, "But you were shit on Saturday," and then lamped him. If you look at the celebrations of the win, Keegan is there, but he's wearing a big pair of aviators and a black eye.
No need to hit him, is there?
Tommy Smith was tough. Tommy Smith was the guy that, Is it Bill Shankly said about him? He wasn't born, he was quarried.
Oh, dear.
Oh, poor Keggy.
No need to him.
No
need to him. Story two.
He's just trying to be light, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's just trying to be confident.
That's the support story to the main event.
A second shorter story in my lifetime. Being a Scottish kid, I actually got the chance to go to Kevin Keegan's soccer circus.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh,
got to do a bit of head tennis with the great man himself. And while not knowing particularly who he was at the time, apart from knowing he was a former England manager, in doing the challenge after a poor header from myself and a determined Keegan to keep it up, we were in the high 20s, sorry. So the headers happened, they got to over 20, and Keegan was determined to keep it going. and he fell over and ripped his trousers. So thank you for that, Craig Doyle, in Kevin Keegan's soccer circus.
True?
No, it doesn't. In many ways, Jim, we've got to the point now where it doesn't actually matter.
No.
Yeah. You can make up a story about him, and then it will like happen to him the next week.
The thing is, because Jim, genuinely, the lawsuit can't get any bigger.
No,
so there's no, and Pete's going to be a witness for the prosecution anyway. So
he'd fuck it up, Keegan, wouldn't he?
He would absolutely represent himself.
You use the word?
How have I got life for this?
I was a defendant.
Your solicitor's on fire, Keggin. Kegan. He's a proper ratchet bastard.
Making all the mistakes. Getting one of them.
Pop on our bricks.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Yeah, it's such a bold kind of mission statement as well. You're really setting yourself up for a fall. It shows the confidence he had in himself.
Yeah, during his time at Manchester United, he won 13 league titles, 5 FA Cups, 4 League Cups, 2 Champions Leagues, 1 Cup Winners' Cup.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
Which was in the form of the Club World Cup.
And the Club World Cup in a pear tree.
And that year when they didn't enter the FA Cup.
Yeah. 5 FA Cups.
Done. What are they even 4 of?
League Cups.
Right, let's do this.
We have to do it.
Right, 5 FA Cups.
I don't know what you won 3 of.
4 League Cups.
He won 11 Premier League Manager of the Seasons Award and 27 Manager of the Months Award.
All right, that goes at the top.
I've got one for 2 Nevilles.
Okay, yeah, I like that. Let's go 3 bottles of red wine.
Yeah.
All right, ready?
He did win 2 Champions Leagues. We could put the Nevilles in if you want, but I fear that...
I prefer Nevilles.
Yeah.
I think he would too. 5
FA Cups. 4 League Cups, 3 red wines, 2 Nevilles,
and a good
tree.
Yeah, well rehearsed, lads.
Yeah,
you derailed that.
Yeah.
He was also given a knighthood.
Oh, well, say that then.
Oh,
just the one knighthood.
And a knighthood in
front of the Queen.
And a knighthood from the Queen.
There you go.
Right.
Edit that together, Pete. It's brilliant.
A real episode for City fans, like, this, isn't it?
Whack a beat under it.
Man, City fans are loving this. They've had their one, though.
Yeah, they have.
They're all right. At the Swamp.
They can just look at the league table.
They must have been thinking to themselves, yeah, take it.
Yeah,
go on. Happy Christmas, sir.
Happy Christmas, Daniel.
Well done, Danny, baby.
Yeah.
Marvellous stuff. Peter.
What?
Are you ready to move on to the Premier League?
I'm ready.
Is it Roy the Boy?
The Premier League.
Roy the Boy.
What's this, Marcus?
That's Roy the Boy riding again.
Here he comes, riding again. Roy the Boy.
Absolutely. Wanted alive.
Out of the...
He's a cowboy. on a steel horse, on an eagle he rides, and he's
wanted.
Imagine him riding
specifically alive.
Him riding an eagle like Daenerys Targaryen and a dragon.
Yeah,
Roy on the top of it.
Can you imagine him in the garb as well? Oh. And the plaits.
Absolutely.
Charlton fans trying to punch it, can't get near it.
Yeah.
He wants to be a cowboy, baby, with this kind of performance.
They were bloody brilliant.
What have we got? We've got an email from Tony Kale.
Oh, go on, Tone.
Yeah, yeah.
Tony Kale.
Oh, okay.
Tony
Kale.
So is that like a vegetarian Tony Gale?
I'm not listening, subscribing to this podcast anymore. I've got some music for this, hang on. I'm not listening or subscribing to this podcast anymore. You've made far, far too many anti-Trump comments. I ignored the first couple because I enjoyed the show so much. It's absurd since this is a football podcast based in the UK. If I was listening to any other podcast that was US-based, then I, of course, would not be shocked by triggered liberals making comments against President Trump. Believe me, I'm used to the bombardment of lies / brainwashing that the liberal media spews out. However, I listen to football podcasts like yours to escape that extremely biased media I have to deal with here in the US. But I can't escape it, I guess. It's funny. If it wasn't for Brexit, then I'd worry all the Brits were triggered liberals like you guys. I struggle suggest you keep politics out of your show. Tony Kerler.
Just a chat, hit me back.
This is Stan.
Tony Gale's really gone down.
Wow. Tony Gale. Yeah.
I can't believe Tony Gale has got time for that.
Veggie Gale.
I know.
Unbelievable.
The great thing is, the one thing we do know about email complainers is that he will absolutely listen to this show. Yeah. So you'll hear that.
And probably keep listening.
Thank you for your email, Tony.
You weirdo.
And if you want to get involved, he's not a weirdo. But he is a weirdo. Show at thefootballramble.com if you want to get involved. That's show at thefootballramble.com. And we can talk about whatever the fuck we want, to be quite frank, Tony. Have a good day.
Bushwhackered around, chucked straight out.
Oh,
same principle.
Comparable.
Same. Hello, Ramblers. Hope all is well. This is from Sam in London. Basically, I am quite a desperate man, or more specifically, a man desperate for you to read an email I've sent into the show twice already.
Desperate Sam.
Well, get the message, Sam. How's this made it in?
The reason I'm trying one more time is genuinely, I do think you'll enjoy my contribution. This is almost, this could go either way. This could go Kale. This could go down the Kale Highway.
This is like when we have a meeting before the show and people try and pitch ideas and we all say no.
I want to do a rap. Everyone said no. A while back, Marcus began an episode of the show talking about the man who drove Man United and Manchester City's first team coach.
That's right.
During the days of Sir Alex Ferguson. Yeah. Naturally, you all seemed surprised that such a figure existed, but he did. His name was Derek Sutton and he was employed by the Manchester coach company Finglands, which I'm quite enjoying.
Yeah,
Finglands.
Yeah.
He also went by the nickname of Sutty. Sutty became good friends with Ron Atkins and so much so that he was allowed to sit in the dugout during United's away games. And he was there on November the 8th, 1986, when Atkins' successor, Sir Alex Ferguson, took his place in the United dugout for the first time at Oxford United. Ferguson took one look at the portly, bespectacled man at his left and asked, "Who the fuck are you?" Upon discovering who Sutty was, Ferguson made it clear to him he would never be allowed to sit in the United dugout again, and he never did. The end.
Oh, that's the beginning of the end for Ferguson.
I know.
That's it. That was his first and most egregious mistake.
Not Ron's, though.
No. Ron rung him up, so I told you. You make that sort of decision, you'll never win the trophies I have.
But, oh, it's a tight ship under Big Ron Atkins, isn't it? Yeah. It's so tight, the Man City bus driver is technically sitting in the United dugout.
When people talk about Ferguson taking over the club and eventually turning it around, the way they talk about it is that, you know, the people were just drunk all the time, this bus driver thing. It was like walking into like a post-apocalyptic city for the first time. Wow. Big Ron sat there going, lovely old job, wasn't it?
The dugout would just be on fire.
You can ask yourself, would you have preferred to play for Manchester United pre or post Ferguson? Because I'm not sure.
And let's not forget, there's a lot of truth in this because Big Ron once famously sat in the wrong dugout at the start of the game for
Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah.
Might have been at Hillsborough.
It's Man United and Man City.
Yeah.
He's still City.
Sutty! Oh yeah, Sutty!
Yeah. Not the last time he got in trouble for that sort of language either.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Dreadful, but wonderful.
Oh, I haven't ever jacked up this bad ever.
No, naughty. Very naughty. Now, that was last week. Right, let's talk about Huddersfield. They managed to stop the rot.
With a confidence-boosting win over Bournemouth. It wasn't just a win, it was a confidence-boosting win.
A penis was seen.
Yeah, penis was seen. Let's get to the real stuff.
With apologies to Huddersfield, who put in a fantastic performance, and all the Huddersfield fans loved it, and good for them. Box ticked. Pete, you're the penis correspondent. A penis was seen. Who was it? What was your impression? What can we learn from it?
Was it as big as yours?
Well, I've done some studies. I think we can discount the Jewish members of the squad. Yeah.
But would you kiss him on the hat?
Is the question. Who knows? Could it be anyone? Lovely little swing on it. Good size. Yeah. We had a good. We had a long discussion on the WhatsApp group. A good size.
Yeah, I agree.
Lovely little swing
on
it.
There's a thigh tattoo involved. Because the thing is,
it's a thigh tattoo involved.
Yeah, well, because no one knows who it is. Surely it's really easy to find out.
Okay, yeah.
Oh dear.
It was absolutely fantastic to watch.
Yeah. Good swing.
It was a great development
over and over again.
Yeah. I can't believe Huddersfield fans must be gutted that their 4-1 win was overshadowed by one of their squad getting the old chap out.
I think most people it wouldn't be, but on this show,
bit of showboating though.
Yeah.
We should do that more often. Yeah. Just like,
get
imagine
your out.
Yeah, no, at the end of the game, Newcastle should have just like done a lap of the pitch, willy copter in.
I'm for that.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. But
we all need a hustle, I suppose.
Yeah.
What a model pro.
Speaking of model pros, I'm looking forward to this one.
Paul Pesci-Cellido.
Your man.
He told a story about Neil Warnock, which surfaced this week.
And we crossed live to our Paul Pesci-Cellido.
Look-alike man.
Well, old Paul, he said when they were both at Sheffield United, Warnock took the players on a team bonding weekend to Scarborough, as you do.
Yeah, glamorous.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. And Pesci-Cellido said that they went 10-pin bowling and Warnock convinced everyone to put £10 in the pot with the winner taking all. You can imagine Warnock trying to get a bit of team spirit.
Come on. We'll just have a tenner on it.
Tenner's
in pot and I'll get some pints of mild as well.
Yeah.
And we'll have a lovely time at the bowling.
Yeah, winner takes all.
I love bowling, do I?
Who wants scratchings?
Yeah. Well, who's put tenner in the fruity then?
So then, as Pesci-Cellido then went on to say, we all agreed for some fun. Then Warnock pulled out his own bowling shoes and custom ball, shot 250 and took all our money.
I like to think it was one of those resin-based balls with a rose in the middle.
With his name on it.
Like a kingpin.
Colin Wanker on it.
Yeah. I think that is absolutely super.
Colin Strike Wanker.
All right, lads, you never get in a bowling match with me. You take all your money.
I've made 150 quid here. Who wants a pint?
I love that so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His own shoes. Right, lads, should we begin now? Well,
I love that he's telegraphing that he's mugging them off as well and then going through with it.
It's like a Paul Newman-esque hustle.
Yeah.
It's
massive.
Inspirational. The same sort of hustle that Karen Brady did later on. Yeah.
Moments earlier, we all need a hustle, Peter. Yeah. And the football ramble seems to be ours. Right, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, it would be nice to see him do very well. Now then, we move on to the main event from this whole podcast. Luke was at Fran Park. They lost 1-0 against Shrewsbury, which will please a friend of the ramble, Murray James, of course.
Yeah.
Luke, not a classic. Why did you want me to include this in the
record? Because there was a really funny moment. There's a few kind of funny moments, as there always is. The referee, Mr. Reed Blayton, handball, and one man got so annoyed that he was ejected.
Wow.
What was it? He was swearing, or was he getting...
With his 10-year-old son.
Good.
Nice.
Imagine the sort of behaviour you have to exhibit to be kicked out, physically kicked out of Fratton Park.
Because of what you're saying.
Yeah. So that was good.
Did his son go with him?
Yeah, he had to, didn't he? He could stand on his own, could he?
Well, he doesn't sound like the most responsible parent. Who knows?
His dad was literally like, come on.
Oh, I see. And he's like, oh, but my uncle Tommy's here.
But anyway, Portsmouth weren't that good in the first half particularly, and they went into the break 1-0 down. In the second half, they started playing really well. Kenny Jackett made a couple of changes, and it worked.
Really well.
No, they did.
Didn't work, did it?
No, at that point, I'm putting you in the context.
Okay.
At that point, I was. I mean, I'm as pessimistic as they come, and you guys know that. But at that point, I thought we're probably not only are we going to equalise, we're probably going to win this game.
Okay.
We hit the crossbar. The keeper made two world class saves. Nailed on penalty, turned down. Anyway,
got to take your chances.
But the point is, we were losing 1-0, but the feeling was quite good. And Christian Burgess, who plays at the back for Portsmouth, he's a centre back in League One, right? So he's not silky. He's just a centre back. Mm. And but the feeling was quite good at the time because we were playing well. We're playing the ball out from the back, right? Christian Burgess gets the ball. The striker's coming in to close him down, and he just nutmegs him. Lovely old job. It was a lovely nutmeg, right? To the point that even though Portsmouth were losing, the fans went, "Ray!"
Yeah.
Apart from one guy sat next to me who just got so pissed off and didn't do a nutmeg. He went, "Oh, don't try that again, you fucking giraffe." Oh, it's brilliant.
Love it.
It's brilliant.
Lovely.
I couldn't laugh properly, though, because he was terrifying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it was very, very good. Okay. Anyway, we lost the game, so the joke's on us. Yeah, but yeah. I thought you might enjoy that
The
one.
Tactics work to a point.
I mean, I understand what he means in one sense, but he is overlooking the fine work that football club has been doing.
Roy Keane now lives his life. I'm not saying I don't agree with it, but Roy Keane now lives his life like a man on a permanent wind-up of every other human being on the planet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't he?
So including himself.
You take it with a pinch of salt, can't you?
Yeah, I mean, it's over the top, certainly. The thing with Roy Keane is there's always violence in the language. Yeah. I mean, it's really aggressive. Because
his words assault you.
Yeah, yeah. What he's doing is he's pointing out facts, but really violently. Yeah. Like, really aggressively just pointing out facts. Like if Wikipedia hated you.
Yeah. It's me. Have you seen my entry? Ramble fan just changing it every time. The only thing
you won't get more of that now.
Like, it's really hard to keep something on Wikipedia. I've not done it myself, but from what I've heard, it's quite difficult because people just are on it. As soon as you change something, there's, you know, thousands of people around the world checking up on the facts. The things that have been left in, that have been checked, I was on a TV show with Gary, with Gascoigne, with Paul Gascoigne.
Were you?
Going fishing. No. But according to Wikipedia, I've got an illegitimate child in Japan.
Wikipedia, though. Yeah, but Pete, people just think, oh, well, yeah, that's true.
I'm not saying it's not Brand Donaldson.
Pete, but I've heard a thing that I think Luke's told me before. That there was some test that says Wikipedia is as accurate as like a normal encyclopedia. So yeah. Are you absolutely sure that none of these things are true?
I saw a talk with a guy, like a scientist, I forget who it was, who said he was a particular expert in one strain of science and said he was asked to look at the Wikipedia page for that particular specialty that he had and just critically mark it, and he said it was incredibly accurate. But Pete, the best
Donaldson has done extra work. He once appeared as a walker in The Walking Dead. Incorrect. Never done that, although I do look like
but
a zombie.
Why are you bringing attention to this? Yeah. It's going to get 10 times worse.
Only
now.
That's he worse. Likes it.
Yeah. Got me edge, right? Shitheads.
Yeah, could have made you 32, couldn't I?
I know. Unbelievable.
What were we talking about, Marcus?
Pete's chances of getting on Radio 1.
Yeah.
You're too old, mate.
That is very slim.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
And I'll finish with this one from Isaac Hose, who says, Isaac Hose, great name. He says, finding out Kevin Keegan was born on Valentine's Day means everything else pales into comparison.
Yeah.
Mm. Wasn't Isaac Hose chef from South Park?
That's Isaac Hayes. Yeah.
Yeah, someone must have been messing with his Wikipedia.
I'm pleased you actually knew that because I couldn't remember his name. Uh-huh.
Jim, are you looking forward to Arsenal having a weekend off?
Yeah.
Hence you having a weekend off, I suppose. Yeah,
indeed. Marcus, do you fancy a couple of Wikipedia entries that have been changed?
What about?
By Ramble fans, basically.
About
on
me?
My Wikipedia. On my Wikipedia.
Oh, okay.
Apparently my nickname was the Sledgehammer of Eternal Justice.
Was?
That got wiped. Wikipedia's...
Oh, these are the ones
men
that
and women just sort of deleted
Wikipedia's
it.
Editors, a.k.a. you, what? Yeah.
The Sledgehammer of Eternal
Pete,
Justice.
Pete went public about his yogurt addiction in 2017.
Well, that's true.
Pete caused a nationwide stir in May 2017 where he proclaimed his top three Newcastle United signings to be Gavash, David Batty and Albert Luque. I actually quite like David Batty.
David Batty was a good player. Yeah,
he speaks 14 Asian languages, has a Chinese wife and is the Emperor of Japan.
And complicated finally, that one politically, isn't it?
And finally, for now, I failed to graduate due to overdue library books. That one is actually true.
You see,
that one should have remained in there.
I was about to say, you actually told me that. Yeah.
You knobhead.
There we go.
Marcus.
No, you are.
No need for that.
You're disrespecting your own education.
He's just reading your Wikipedia. Apparently you're a knobhead.
Yeah, that's what it does. You see all the workings out at the end. Conclusion, knobhead.
Yeah. And then when you type in knobhead in Wikipedia, it forwards to Pete. Yeah.
Just like Google Images.
Yeah, there we are. 40 points.
Treats himself to a worm for every point they got in the Premier League this
season. Spaghetti worms.
Yeah.
Worms and meatballs.
Worm bolognese.
Oh, but before we talk about Manchester City versus Chelsea, let's go to the emails with PTD.
Yeah, just a quick couple, to be honest, Marcus, because we have got an email special later on this week, so look out for that. Keith from Texas says, hey, gents, not sure if you got up on this on the Brit broadcast, but the US broadcast of the Liverpool-Newcastle game delivered my highlight of the weekend. Peter Drury commented that Rafa was putting on another layer against the cold, wise man that he is. Cut to two shirtless Newcastle fans making V signs and shouting indiscriminately. Peter Drury then says, and those are Geordies.
Very good.
Thank you, Keith from Texas. Also, Chris in Auckland.
Do you think police officers are as hapless as that and even get away with crime? So he showed you Robocop.
Yeah, couldn't he fly in three?
Oh, shut up, Pete. Marcus, come on.
Fly. Let's go to the championship. The Old Farm Derby happened. Two very late goals. Norwich won, Ipswich won, of course, was the result. Tim Closer missed a good chance earlier on in the game. Made amends, though,
didn't he?
With that injury time winner.
Mick McCarthy. This is so good.
Man who does not obey the public trust.
Marcus, tell them.
Or protect the innocent.
Tell people listening who may not have seen this, what Mick McCarthy, and you say he was accused of doing it. He did it.
Accused of doing it.
What did he do?
He told his own fans to fuck off.
He celebrated a
allegedly,
goal.
Allegedly.
He celebrated a goal in their biggest game of their season by screaming, fuck off, to his own fans.
No, even better than that, it was the fist going right
fist
in there.
As well.
Going right, no, I would not say that's a fist pump. That was a
an uppercut.
That's going in there. Right up the arse. Fuck you. Up the arse.
Explain that to
people who pay my wages up to the wrist.
Pete, imagine explain that to the director. I know what you're saying, Mick, but the fans are quite important. Mick, aren't they?
Calm down, Mick. They can't hear you now. Stop saying it.
What I were doing was I were pretending I was fishing out some grass from a tractor, and it was a tribute to the match.
Yeah. Pete, you can imagine the director saying that, and Mick McCarthy goes, "No, I know what you're saying, but it's me against them. Fuck them
and you." Yeah. It was a shame for Big Mick because, of course, Ipswich scored on the 89th minute.
And, our Myman delivering a calf.
Like what a farmer would do, yeah?
Manchester United, they're still in it.
They are.
But they're out of the Champions League.
They also are.
But you know, but just move on, Jim. I mean, it's not a big...
Good to see all these things,
isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Mourinho said, I don't want to make a drama out of it. We don't have time
for
that.
No, we know
that.
You don't want to. Yeah. That's the point. We all know you don't want to do
that. Because you're usually so bad at that, aren't you?
Yeah.
We don't have time for it. I think we do. Yeah. Jose.
We'll find time.
We'll make room in our schedules, yeah. Well, he said, we have a match on Saturday. That's football. It's not the end of the world. Yeah, nothing to see here apart from a humiliating home defeat.
Yeah. and a well-deserved one as well, I think it's fair to say, given the way they approach both games. He also said after the game that he's twice sat in that chair as manager of Porto and Real Madrid after knocking Man United out of the Champions League. So it's not a situation they're not used to.
Unbelievable.
It's brilliant, isn't it? Yeah. Real Madrid. Yeah. Well, Real Madrid won here.
There's so many layers to that as well, because what it's also saying, in addition to how ridiculous it is, it's also saying, we've lost before, we'll lose again.
Yeah.
Don't worry, we don't want to hear about that now.
You should just be happy we got out of a group. Yeah. That's essentially what he's saying.
Let's remember some of my past achievements.
Yeah. When I wasn't the manager,
you're welcome.
Was specifically at your expense.
Yeah. Look how lucky you are to have me.
Yeah.
Incredible.
It's absolutely wonderful.
We did say that.
Stop trying to bring him in.
I'm talking about
his own faults.
I'm talking about you.
So now that you are him, you're defending him.
I know. I've become everything I hate. Hello to Callum. Hello, Callum.
All right, Callum.
Hello, lads. On the latest show, I was delighted to hear a mention of Kevin King's Soccer Circus, that oft-forgotten relic of mid-noughties football patter.
I love it how everyone calls it a soccer school, but with Keegan it's a soccer circus.
I know, yeah.
What I like, no, I think it wasn't it called a soccer circus or something.
It was the name of it.
Yeah.
That genuinely is, that's what I mean. Like everyone else, it would be a soccer school. Keegan calls it.
Growing up in Glasgow, I was about 14 when a school friend invited me along to the soccer circus for a day out. It was fucking shit. We were the only people there, and the board staff let us go round twice extra for free. It makes it sound like it was an amusement.
Yeah, I think it was like an experience type thing. It wasn't like a Bobby Charlton type thing.
Oh, was it not?
Oh, it wasn't. I think it was a travelling like mini soccer theme park.
Why is Kevin involved?
We talked about
it
years ago.
His name on it, didn't he?
Take your head, mate.
Kevin Keegan's football clusterfuck.
Yeah. Give it a Google.
It's fucking shit.
Yeah.
Give it a Google.
Why are you firing me out of a cannon?
As we were leaving, though, we noticed the great man himself exiting the office. So he didn't have to stick around. He was clearly just a figurehead, promotional figurehead. But no, he puts the hours in, and that's why Keggy is brilliant. Yeah.
Two people in that day.
Yeah. if my name's on the door, I really should be there every day.
I should be checking fire exits.
I'm not a lion tamer. Don't put me in the cage with him.
We were the only people there, as I said, and boss staff let us go around twice extra for free. We approached Keggy tentatively. I, a lifelong Man City fan, like my dad, was wearing an 05-06 home shirt. Oh. We're talking Barton. We're talking Vassell. We're talking Fowler. My friend was wearing a bright orange Valencia away shirt he'd gotten on holiday. Keegan was initially very friendly, but when I asked him to sign my City shirt, he said, I'm not fucking signing that. It was the season after I left.
Fair enough, to be fair to Keegan.
Turning his attention briefly to my friend, he pointed at the Valencia shirt and said, what the fucking hell is that? We were 14.
So
he's gone off on one, hasn't he? He returned to my shirt, signing it reluctantly and commenting on how filthy it was.
Filthy.
You want to give that a wash, kid.
Maybe he's in a bad mood after a recent pratfall.
Maybe. I took my signed shirt home and immediately put it in a frame which would fall off the wall and smash it a few days later, because of course it did.
Apparently, you also took the Valencia shirt off the kid, washed it in this washing machine, and it shrunk it.
Yeah. Well, apparently, I lost touch with this girlfriend, but I hope somewhere there's still an orange Valencia away shirt with a massive Kevin Keegan cigarette.
Maybe he's listening to the show. Inexplicably
sharpied on it.
Pete, maybe we can what's the word? Reunion.
Get them back together. The reunion islands.
I mean, we must, generation-wise, we must have a lot of listeners who went to that soccer circus. So do get in touch.
Yeah. Did anyone end up being a professional footballer? That's what I want to know.
From going to a Kevin Keegan soccer-themed theme park.
It's like Mr. Blobby World, isn't it?
Yeah.
The soccer circus closed for
a bit. So did anyone ever become a TV presenter by meeting Noel Edmonds?
The soccer circus closed for a good 8 month later. So there we go. Get Callum. Hello to...
I think he made the donation, but he wouldn't wear the shirt.
Yeah.
Well, that's you're right, because you reminded me there. Sheffield United beat West Ham 3-0 in the running. And I think Warnock probably thought... we've got a chance.
Safe as houses.
But it's so funny because do you guys remember just on the Tevez thing and the Warnock? Because really, what we're talking about here.
It was a great escape from West Ham as well.
It was, yeah, with two players that were illegally bought. but what we're talking about here, really, a big facet of this is this Warnock at the sort of forefront of ramming this unfair thing through. Because no other, I mean, Charlton Athletic were also relegated. They didn't complain, as far as I know. I mean, maybe they did, but there wasn't as much made of it. But do you guys remember in 2011 when Carlos Tevez had a bust up with Roberto Mancini in a Champions League game
against Bayern?
And he refused to come. Well, they said he refused to come on.
Yeah.
And he later said, no, I refused to warm up. Mancini came over to me. I can't remember who it was against. It was away from home.
It was Bayern, I think.
Right. Mancini goes over
I remember it very well.
And says, warm up. And he says, no, I'm more. He said, I'm already warmed up.
There's two differing accounts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But the funny thing is, that's not the point. The point is, at that point, Neil Warnock was managing QPR, right? Not involved in the Champions League.
Yeah.
No need to. You know, if you get asked about that in a press conference, I'm here to talk about Queen's Park Rangers.
If he was managing Bayern Munich, it might have been relevant.
Yeah. The sooner he leaves the country, the better.
Oh, he's like Terry Butcher's, always going on about Maradona in 86. Yeah. Warnock will keep going about this.
And this quote is brilliant as well. I can't see it being sorted by him staying. 2 weeks' ban is a disgrace. Within a few months, he'll be kissing another badge. Yeah. Warnock cannot let it go.
You're having that, Jim. Another 2 weeks, he'll be kissing another badge.
This is music to my ears. I'm Team Warnock on this. So, yeah, add some words for Richard Scudamore as well.
Oh, yeah.
This is Warnock. I'd love to get him in a room on my own for an hour, no holds barred. If it was any other club, Scudamore would have made sure the facts came out. I find it amazing that he has kept his job. If it had been a big club, the truth would come out earlier and it would have been sorted.
Yeah. I'd batter him all around that room, I tell you.
I love punching, do I? He's a good dead man.
He makes a good cop.
But anyway, listen, Rob, if you want to kiss for one to come along, you get 4 or 5 years.
Unless I read this wrong, and forgive me if I have, but Jose Mourinho caused a bit of a shock in the room when he gave Manager's Player of the Year award to Scott McTominay.
This is brilliant.
Yeah, it's incredible.
That is absolutely brilliant that he's done
it's
that.
It's such a merc, isn't it?
It really
it's
is.
Brilliant. I wonder how McTominay feels about all this. Because does he take it at face value, or does he think, I'm being used as a weird example here?
Let's be honest. It's the closest thing Mourinho can do to giving himself the award.
Yeah.
It is, isn't it?
Suppose 5 Premier League starts this season.
Yeah. I mean, is that disrespectful to...
play the total of 640 minutes in all compositions.
I'm sure I've read that right, that he gave him the award.
No, sorry, that's in Premier League and Champions League competitions.
I saw a quote from him about this, saying that he doesn't look at players and, young players and senior players. He just looks at players. And he said, and I love this kid. It's like, well, hang on. Like, where?
They're all kids to him.
Yeah. The other players that they need to step up.
Do you think he
I love it how he's just politicised. What's supposed to be quite a nice event.
Do you think that he was more or less entertaining as Manchester United manager at the Manchester United end of season awards than Louis van Gaal was?
Never.
That time.
No. Lenny with the saxophone. The saxophone, they're never going to beat that.
Give a big applause.
Yeah. Before you move on to van Gaal, and I don't want to get in your way. I really don't. 5 Premier League starts for McTominay.
Yeah, that is so funny, isn't it? It's like he's only just realised he can use academy players.
Yeah, he got really carried away.
Yeah. There we are. But yeah, it is worth remembering.
One of those games, can I just say, of the five Premier League starts, was the one against Crystal Palace the one where he had to come off at half-time because they were 2-0 down?
Oh, I can't remember. Won that 3-2. I mean, Matic scored the winner, didn't he? Matic got a goal of the season if it's the same Crystal Palace match we're talking about.
Yeah, they were 2-0 down at half-time.
Matic scored the winner.
And then came back 1-3-2.
Yeah, that's right.
No, maybe yeah, I'm pretty sure McTominay got dragged in that game.
I can't remember.
So basically, one of the five, and there's only five that he started, but 20% of those games, he got the hook at half-time because his team were 2-0 down against Crystal Palace and they ended up winning 3-2. Player of the year, that. Yeah. That's player of the year material for me.
Unquestionably.
Five Premier League starts.
Unbelievable.
It's only five more than you.
You've got to think about what Romelu Lukaku thinks of
that. Yeah, yeah.
Incredible.
It's fantastic. It's absolutely fantastic.
Little naughty boy.
As you were at Newcastle for a while.
A little naughty boy.
James Hill just wanted to make a comment about the fact that he's living in Dubai the past couple of years. He's dealing with Keaton Gray out on Middle East TV.
Oh,
apparently, this new thing they're really annoyed about, modern football and nonsense, is to get angry about the Stoke Palace match where Ryan Shawcross led the team out on the pitch. It was noticed by Keys that some of the mascots were children of the players. I've not noticed this end-of-season tradition before because it is completely irrelevant and dismissed it immediately as a harmless token the kids have probably been looking forward to for a couple of weeks. But not Keys. He was actually incensed that anyone in the Stoke team or their spawn should ever consider enjoying the occasion for what was literally 5 minutes. According to Keys, there is a big difference between holding your own child's hand before a match instead of the hand of a child you don't know. After the match, Keys was adamant that the fact that some of the players walked out with their kids contributed to the defeat and therefore ultimately gave them relegation because they had the audacity to enjoy the match.
Richard Keys there, a man who literally had sex with his daughter's friend. Happened. It happened.
Martin Nash. Here's an highlight of the weekend. James Dunn and Jimmy Dunn.
Pete, Jim and Mark have gone. So gone. It's just you and me. Yeah.
Martin, I don't like the intensity. It's the Luke Pete Shaw. Martin Nash has highlight of the weekend was James Dunn and Jimmy Dunn.
Who knows that we're in between the club season and the World Cup? We're talking about, right, said Fred. Giving them the kudos that perhaps they didn't receive fully in the 90s. But they have now, so we can kick on.
Yeah.
Who'd like to hear about me meeting Kevin Keegan?
Literally
yes.
Everyone.
I met
Is that
him.
Your first point of order? Who would like to hear about me meeting Kevin Keegan? Did you tune with a bit more respect than usually bloody do, Marcus Speller?
I know. What?
One of my favourite footballers.
Oh, Pete, I reckon it was one of the worst displays of two-facedness you've ever seen.
Yeah.
But it was really nice to him.
Iago style levels of two-faced turncoatery.
No, I have. Look. Do I respect Kevin Keegan and Arsenal Fan TV? I respect one of those things, and it's Kevin Keegan. No, I just find a few things rather amusing about the man of what's happened.
Like
to
what?
Him.
Let's have some highlights.
We know all this. What was it like to actually meet him?
He's genuinely a lovely man. He's exactly as you would imagine. People love that man as well, and rightly so. I have to say, though, no sooner had he walked into the room, and he shakes everybody's hands and very congenial, very lovely. He sat down, and I'm not joking, the first story he tells, now I don't know whether this is a recent thing or back in the day when he was playing in Liverpool, but he, for some reason he told some story, obviously theft is not funny, etc. and so on, but he told a story about his car radio getting nicked when he was in Liverpool.
Did he?
That was his opening thing. I don't know.
Incredible.
Well, that was his anecdote. I had my car stereo stolen in the place where everyone says car stereos get stolen.
Yeah, so I think it was probably from yesteryear. But okay. But there we are. There we a go. Lovely man, nonetheless.
They're not removable anymore, surely, are they, Marcus?
I've no
they
idea.
They probably are if you're Kevin Keegan.
I fit in my own car stereo and it's definitely not removable, so I can concur it's not.
Okay.
There we are. But a lovely chap, genuinely. Very, very lovely. Still think,
a meeting of minds.
Still thinks penalties are a lottery, though.
Yeah.
Despite the overwhelming evidence myself and others suggested.
You never played the game.
Yeah. So, we'll also find out about that in the summer, I expect.
Yeah. That's true. He did admit that when he took England to Euro 2000, that they had these ideas in place, and then when they tried to implement them and they didn't quite work, they didn't have much of a plan to back that up.
Right.
You know, and I
doesn't
thought
sound like Kevin Keegan's managerial career at all.
Well, Kevin, what are we going to do next? Well, I thought that would work. So, anyone got any ideas? Because I genuinely thought that was going
to
work.
Tino's turned up to the match drunk. Let's play with Barry Venison in the role.
Yeah.
What's the tactical style? Hope, mainly.
Yeah. Yeah. We're playing a hope too.
The force of my charisma and goodwill.
Yeah. Oh, but England,
which can get you pretty far.
They can
do. When you're Kevin Keegan.
England look like they've got a plan under Southgate, don't they?
So there is an angle here for Morocco, who I think are a better team than people think.
I saw Morocco, Iran through the group.
I actually think it's...
Well, it was Uruguay and Costa Rica in 2014.
That's true,
remember?
Yeah. Absolutely. But I'm not having Spain in disarray is still way more organised than everyone.
They'll still beat England, yeah.
They'll still get out the group.
I think it's actually quite a nice group, that one. I think that people might think that Portugal and Spain might breeze it. And they might.
What's the party group is Group H, though, isn't it? Japan, Senegal... Colombia, Poland.
Oh, beautiful. That's lovely.
Beautiful.
Just, yeah, that's nice.
That's a lot of fun.
That is nice. Yeah,
hang on a minute. Breaking news. Julien Lepetegui has been sacked one day before the World Cup starts.
Come on.
They're there you go. In disarray.
Yeah.
They're in disarray.
Oh, wow. Spain are doing a France.
Yes. England have got a chip. No, yeah. Don't go that far.
They're on the other side of the draw. Doesn't matter.
England have got chips. Does anyone want some chips?
Reported by the BBC, the Spanish Football Federation have confirmed they've sacked Julien Lepetegui as manager just over 24 hours before the World Cup begins.
That's why we're recording in the afternoon.
Yeah.
That is mad.
That is insane.
Surely you've got to get someone in who's got World Cup experience, who knows how to take a team, and he's called Sven-Goran Eriksson.
Imagine if they got Sven in.
Who are they going to get in?
It's got to be him, isn't it?
Zidane. They're getting Zidane
in. They got Zizou in.
Oh, imagine.
Oh,
from Champions League winner to World Cup winner. All he does is win.
Far be it for me to dampen the excitement, but they'll probably give it to the assistant. It's one day before the World Cup starts.
Piss off, Luke.
Yeah. Piss right off. What about Del Bosco? Get him back. What's he doing?
Get Pep in for the summer.
Being horrible.
Yeah. There we go, see?
Well, the fella, was it Camacho with the sweaty armpits?
Yeah.
2002.
It's great that it's not us having this to deal with, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, give it a couple
Come
more
on
days.
Now. Come
yeah.
On.
Yeah, true.
My giddy aunt. Paul Pogba had another good game.
He did, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's exactly my point. Yeah, Mourinho.
And I'm trying to think, who else?
Wayne Rooney has moved twice, and now there's a Wayne Rooney deal.
David De Gea, though. I personally enjoyed, let's call it outfield players. It's always a caveat with goalkeepers. I've personally enjoyed every single Mourinho player in the first game of the World Cup, emerge out of the tunnel like someone who's been kept in a basement for 5 years.
What is this beautiful
rubbing their eyes, looking at a football like it's been like a caveman discovering fire, yeah, like poking yeah, it, yeah. And then being brilliant.
Eating a dragonfly.
Yeah, but you know, that was amazing, wasn't it? That was so grim.
I forgot about that.
Do you think it's because he's got his gloves on, he's just got to gob it out of his mouth? It was so grim.
Like when sometimes a goalkeeper gets a defender over to do his shoelaces. Yeah. Defender jogs over, what do you need, shoelaces? It? Dragonfly.
Protein, mate. Protein. We all need protein.
Do you know the thing that if you played under
Santa slap on the bum? Where's me thing?
Come on. When they're going for,
going for... Lord. Yeah.
Pete, it's before back. We just say Liverpool is.
My nickname.
Stop. No, go on.
How does that work? Because you didn't have a guess that round.
Yeah, you got a guess. Yeah, you said stop. You got a guess. You can't tell you any more. No, you can't tell you any more clue. You've got a guess.
Kaladze.
Incorrect.
Yeah, I didn't think it was. That's why I said get on with it.
Carry on, PC.
My nickname is... It's the last clue. My nickname... So, Max is out of the game. My nickname...
No, that's... No, I'm not.
Yeah, because you've had a guess on the clue.
You didn't listen to the
clue. You can't
clue.
Have another
you
guess on the clue.
That's why I said carry on, and then you said, no, you got a guess.
You can't stop it. And that
I'd only started
guess.
The next clue, Marcus.
Carry on, Pete. You're listen, in charge
sorry,
this,
Sorry, Marcus.
That's Paul.
My nickname is El Grinta.
Well, I don't know it anyway. So <doesn't matter>.
Oh my God! Have you all struck out?
Yeah. Wow,
this is rare, isn't
I'm
it?
I'm not allowed another.
No, Marcus.
All right, what would you have said? What would you have said then, Marcus?
Barry Grintles.
Barry Grintles. It's not Barry Grintles, Marcus. It's Christian Panucci.
Oh!
So there we go, another Best Of special in the can. We're going to be back next week with our final Best Of episode from this little run, this time from last season. And then we're back in the studio next Thursday for a brand new episode of the Football Ramble. We will see you then. All right, everyone! It's the true Jordy here! Big Jordy!
Have we not got homes to go to?
All right, everyone!
Yeah. What's going on, everybody?
What's going on? Our wagon, Holland and Barrett, showing off his muscles and selling creatine powder to papers.
Does he? Is that what he does?
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.